Chapter 12. The leaves were thoroughly autumn-colored at the end of November, and dripping with freezing rain in the afternoon, Alvy asked the chauffeur to take her to see Ethel. Alvy had finally invested in a good English coat, and even an English hat, to match. Though Fred assured her he knew where he was going, Alvy paid special attention to the route, occasionally glancing down at the address in her hand. If London would only allow public mere transport, she'd be there by now, and without the need of a coat or hat. They wound up at a modest home toward the outskirts of the city, not too far afield to be in the country. Two stories with russet brick and white trim. It had a small porch with a short fence, and two white pillars guarded either side of the door. Hauling her large bag of supplies with her, Alvy stepped out of the automobile and waved for the chauffeur to go on his way. She would be an hour at least. As the automobile drove off, however, a prickly sensation danced across Alvy's neck. She turned around, scanning the street. She had the oddest feeling she was being watched, but the weather had driven everyone else inside as far as she could see. It must have been the rain stirring her hair. She hurried up the steps and knocked. A woman with pale blonde hair, graying at the temples, opened the door. She wore a high-necked brown dress and had blue eyes, a stark contrast to Ethel's and Bennett's rich brown. Glancing at Alvy's bag, she said, "Yes, she's just through that hallway." Thank you. Alvy slid by her, trying to be small, but her bag knocked the woman's knees, a woman whom Alvy presumed to be Mrs. Cooper. Alvy's glasses fogged instantly in the warmth of the house, and she struggled to wipe them clear with her sleeve while avoiding a collision with the blurry furniture. "Alvy?" Ethel's sweet voice eased the stress building in Alvy's shoulders. Following the sound, Alvy stepped into a small sitting room of sorts. It had two cream-colored chairs and a cream-colored couch, two windows and a very small oak writing desk, faded blue wallpaper with a fleur-de-lis design running through its middle, coated all four walls. Ethel sat on the couch, her knees up, holding open a book with her right hand. Alvy wondered if she and Magician Praff would be able to create a prosthesis finely tuned enough to turn pages. Ethel's hair was pinned up in a stylish pompadour, and she wore a floral-printed dress that seemed too cheery for the weather. "Don't mind, Mum." Ethel gestured to a chair, and Alvy sat, setting the heavy bag down in front of her. "She's unsure about all this." "Why?" Ethel shrugged. "Because you and Magician Praff aren't doctors." "Oh, a valid point. But Magician Praff is communicating with one. I saw them chatting through the salon mirror earlier this week." Ethel smiled and put down the book. "It's good to see you again. It's stuffy inside this house. Not many people come to visit." "Why not?" Another shrug. "Guess they don't know what to say." "Well, your brain isn't gone, is it?" Alvy opened her bag and pulled out a ledger, a pen, and a seamstress's measuring tape. "And you could go outside." The rain picked up, pattering against the window. Alvy frowned at it. "I suppose it's not the best season for recovery." "It makes my arm hurt, the rain." Ethel rubbed her stump. She no longer wore bandaging, just a painful-looking scar. "My mama says that about her knee. I always thought it was a joke, but it's true. The weather has an effect on the body, even when you're not standing in it." Alvy held up the measuring tape. "Do you mind?" "Oh, no." Ethel sat up and held out her half-arm. Alvy began measuring it, jotting the numbers down in her book. She'd measure the right arm, too, for comparison. "I heard about the burglary," Ethel said. "Oh, yes, it wasn't really a burglary. Nothing was taken, fortunately." "Still, scary to think what might have happened." Alvy straightened, keeping her thumb on the measuring tape to remember the number. "The case is more or less closed. There's no evidence to point toward who the intruder could be, but..."
"But?"
"Well," Alvy glanced to the door. "You see, there's a magician, Azel, who doesn't like Magician Praff at all. He's rather unlikable."
"Oh, the one at the restaurant."
Yes. Had Bennett told her about that? What had he said? that Alvy was awkward, that he'd decided there was no spark between them after all. You think it was him? Ethel guessed. Alvy sighed and jotted down the measurement. I think it's him, yes. He certainly had the motivation, but there's no evidence. Unfortunately, he has a sound alibi. He was at home, and his wife confirmed that he was in bed during the break-in, and his chauffeur never left the house, or something like that. I didn't get to hear the full report, but his own polymery was broken into a while back, so... She got off the chair and knelt before Ethel so she could measure her right arm. And nothing else has happened since? A pause. Alvy? Hold on. Math. Oh, sorry. Alvy looked toward the ceiling, adding fractions in her head, and jotted the sum in the ledger. Nothing else has happened? Ethel tried again. Oh, no. We've been much more careful. Magician Praff changed the locks and put up some wards and the like just in case, and he started locking up the prostheses at the end of every night. It's a bother, but safe is better than sorry. 4 polymeries have been broken into in the last year, and no one knows who is doing it or why. She sighed. What are you reading? Ethel picked up the book. A Tale of Two Cities. Just started it this morning. Have you read it? No, I don't read a lot of fiction. Never. You're denying yourself, Alvy. Alvy took her ledger back to her chair. I did read Heart of Darkness before prep school. Ethel laughed. I wouldn't have pinned you for a lover of gothic romance. I suppose I'll have to read at least one more in the genre to know if I am. Ethel leaned close, her eyes taking on a feline light. Speaking of romance, how is my brother? He's too private for my liking. Alvy glanced away and cleared her throat. I don't know. You must see him more than I do. Ethel's face fell. You haven't seen him? Not in the last couple of weeks, no. But he sends me mail birds every couple of days. He seems committed to his folding test, at least. Ethel nodded. At least. Don't take it to heart, Alvy. That mentor of his keeps him on a tight leash, and he's a little shy with women. Take what to heart? He was sending her notes, but they were still unromantic. Not that Alvy knew a great deal about courting, but she could write something at least a little romantic, even if Emma had to help her with it. Needless to say, she hadn't had the courage to send that bird. Ethel studied Alvy's face. For what, she wasn't sure. Part of Alvy wanted to blurt out, "Do you know if he cares for me that way? Would he ever? Does he talk about me? Do you think it would work?" But she kept her lips firmly sealed. She'd rather not make a fool of herself today. A mischievous grin lifted Ethel's countenance. Would you like to see his room? His room? He's not there, of course. He lives with Magician Bailey. But his room is still here? Ethel looked ready to jump off the couch. Alvy nodded. Grabbing Alvy's hand, Ethel tore back through the hallway to the stairs. Halfway up them, her mother called, "You need rest!" Advice that Ethel did not heed. She took Alvy to the second room on the left and opened the door. Voila! She lifted her good arm up in show and tucked her stump behind her. It wasn't anything remarkable. A simple room, small, equipped with the basic necessities, clean as it was currently unoccupied. Bennett's bed had plaid covers on it, and it tucked right under the window. On the sill rested a small telescope. Did he like the stars? He had a very tall dresser, atop which sat an assortment of paper creations he must have left there during visits home. A fan, a frog, a flower similar to the one he'd folded for Alvy at the restaurant. She'd kept it on a shelf in her workroom, but the burglar had knocked it off, and the delicate paper had unfolded itself. There was a ship in a bottle on his nightstand. Did he like the sea? And a very old model of a gaffer lamp. His closet doors were shut. Alvy wondered what lay behind them. Had he always had such modest and pristine taste in fashion, or was that something he'd acquired recently? "What are you doing up there?" Mrs. Cooper called from the bottom of the stairs. "Coming down!" Ethel grinned. She took Alvy's hand again and led her back to the sitting room, much slower than they had left it. When the two were once again settled, Alvy forced her mind back to polymaking, and pulled out a few cups of plastic which she had shaped yesterday. She softened the plastic and formed it over Ethel's stump, then used a heed pattern spell and asked Ethel to move her arm in different directions. If the stump created any pressure points in the plastic, they could use those to activate movements in the prosthesis. She repeated this exercise several times. A wider range of samples led to a better product, or so Magician Praff had told her when he helped her pack her bag. Lastly, Alvi vacuum-formed Ethel's right wrist and hand, creating several copies in different positions. Magician Praff would use these to create a finely tuned model to work with. "You didn't say what you thought," Ethel said as Alvi packed up. "I think it will fit well when we're done with it." Ethel lightly smacked Alvi's arm. "About Bennett's room?" Alvi brushed a lock of hair from her face. "Well, it's not like I'm sleeping in it." "Not yet, anyway." Her face heated. "Ethel!" Ethel laughed, and Alvi found she didn't mind the teasing quite so much. It was good to hear her friend laugh. Alvi sighed. "I do like him, of course. I really like him." Ethel bounced on the sofa. She almost clapped, then remembered and stopped herself. Her smile faded. "But," Alvi amended, "I don't think it will go anywhere. I don't think Bennett is going to pursue me." "Why wouldn't he?" "I've had lots of time to think about it, compile evidence, sort the possible outcomes. The current hypothesis is..." "Alvi." Alvi closed her mouth. Ethel leaned her stump and elbow on her thighs. "You can't science up love like that. Men don't ask women on dates and send them letters just for nanty-narking."
"For what?"
"For fun." Alvi shrugged. "My chauffeur is probably waiting outside." Ethel frowned. "I haven't pressed too hard, have I?" "Oh, no, not at all. I don't mind, really." Ethel took her hand. "You're a good friend, Alvi, even without all the magic." Alvi squeezed her hand. "You are too, Ethel, even without the arm." The older woman's eyes watered just a bit. "I think that today that's something I needed to hear." Ethel saw Alvi to the door, and sure enough, Fred was parked in front of the house. As he came around to open the passenger door, however, Alvi again got that prickling sensation, and the rain had stopped for the time being. She looked around, peering into the old green trees lining the street to the west, searched the neighboring homes. She didn't see anyone. Yet as she slid into the auto, she couldn't shake the feeling that someone had been watching her.